It's the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio KONP. Now, here's Todd.
Hey, welcome once again to the program. First segment today, we're going to talk a little bit about trees, especially in an urban setting. And so we're going to dive into it as a development of a street tree program here in the city of Port Angeles. It's a partnership between City Shade and the city, and we have a couple of folks involved on both sides of that to join us today. Paul Forrest is with us with the City Shade program, and we have Thomas Hunter, who's the Public Works and Utilities Director for the city of Port Angeles, coming on board as well. Thanks both for coming on today. Paul, I'll start with you. Tell us a bit about City Shade and just kind of how you got involved with this and what this is leading to here for the city of Port Angeles.
My wife and I visited the historical museum here in about 2007, and I was looking at photographs of old Port Angeles, and I commented that, gee, I think there were more trees then than there are now, which I think is true. If you drive down the average block, count the trees on both sides of the street, you might get up to 5 on the average block, maybe only 4, and there are many places that don't have any, so we have lots of space for trees. So I decided to grow trees for a street tree project that could be free for people in Port Angeles.
And I understand you've literally planted hundreds of trees so far, is that right?
I have hundreds of trees growing, but none of these have been planted in town.
All right, so but that's the next part of this program. So, Thomas Hunter, let's talk a bit about how the city is now getting engaged with this and what you envision happening next.
Yeah, Todd, well, I think that it's really important to highlight just kind of what an amazing process this is from our perspective. You know, Paul reached out to us quite some time ago, as I referenced in an earlier council meeting. I can't believe it's taken as long as it has, but I think good things usually do. And Paul had this idea of how we could really combine volunteerism, combine community effort, and really capture some benefit relative to urban tree canopy and increasing that. At the same time, we had to put a lot of thought and due diligence into how we could make this a process that's easy for the community, that's not overly burdensome, that has some rhythm and rhyme to it, so to speak, all set within the context of, as you know, our very complex rights of way. So we started this conversation quite some time ago, and we've just now kind of reached the point where we're feeling better about it. We've kind of got a concept as to how people are going to be able to ultimately apply to be a part of this program. Paul and his team over at City Shade really feel that they're going to be able to, you know, go through the tree planting process with people and outline best management practices relative to maintaining those trees and so forth. So that's not to say that there aren't more details to figure out. Simply put, we're getting farther along in this process, and we're really excited about this partnership.
All right. So, Thomas, now that you've kind of laid that out, let's take me through, you know, what an application might look like, who might be eligible. As you mentioned, it may not be for every parcel in the city of Port Angeles, per se.
Yeah, I think one of the critical pieces of importance is really coming up with a roadmap. And so we're working right now, the Public Works Department, City Shade, and the CED Department, looking at how we can divide up different parts of the city and the different neighborhoods to identify which areas would go first from an application perspective. We want to make sure that we're creating consistency within these communities. And again, we're a little ways off from the exact details on that. But putting all of that out in front of the application process is going to be critically important. And there's been a lot of work kind of that's gone into the, you know, what types of trees and all of that. Paul can speak a little bit more to that part.
And Paul, that was my next question, is these are, you know, depending on where we're talking about, might be a different kind of tree for a different kind of neighborhood.
The trees that I'm growing all came from the city's list of recommended street trees.
Okay.
Exclusively. So, and these trees are one of the main features of these trees, or some of the features, are that they're all deciduous, so you can get some sunshine through the canopy in the wintertime. They're all single trunk, and they do not buckle the sidewalks and the curbs. They have deep roots, so they're not like conifers that stretch out and tear everything up. So we'd like them to be good stewards of these trees, to be good neighbors, you know. But I think we have about 5 species we're working with at the moment. We did have 10, but we had some problems. We can, you know, I don't think on any given street you want to have 5 different kinds of trees planted on the street. Maybe this street we do one type and another street we do another type and let the neighbors on the street decide what they want.
Okay, so I, you know, say we're going to do this in my neighborhood, Paul. When you come out, what are you going to, you're going to teach me how to grow this tree? How big is this tree going to be when you plant it? What would take me through what this might look like for an actual person once the program's going and maybe they get accepted into bringing a tree on?
Well, we'll have to have people trained to do that. You would apply online to get a tree and give a little bit of information. Somebody would show up at your property and look at the site and make sure the tree that you'd like to plant is not too big, not too little, is not too close to the curb or the sidewalk or a fire hydrant or the corner of the street. So you get the right tree in the right place at the right time.
Do you help, are you at least looking into this, and maybe either one of you, Paul first, if you want to answer this. You know, I'm talking about people might get a little, well, geez, I'm going to plant that tree, and all of a sudden, not there goes my view, for example. Are you taking into any consideration sight lines, things like that, or types of trees that might grow in a certain place better than another and not be impactful, I guess, if you will, to a neighbor's property?
Well, when you plant a tree in your neighborhood or in your backyard, you do have to consider what the neighbors might think, and especially the ones if you potentially are blocking a view. The first thing I did when I looked at the city street tree list was eliminate all the tall trees that go beyond 60 feet, because those really do tick off the neighbors. So
yeah.
We're going to find small and medium-sized trees only.
Thomas, I'm going to have you maybe elaborate, too, on something Paul just said about, you know, from the public works perspective. One of the issues, I think, that led to a lot of trees being removed was what he just talked about with buckling of pavement. You know, the root systems became problematic. That's a fact, isn't it?
Well, it definitely is, Todd, and I think that's why there's going to have to be a lot of care put into multiple stages of this program. But you know, one of the things that I think is important for us to realize is that we need to make progress in this arena, and perfection isn't always going to be the result in stage one. But you know, City Shade and Paul has done a lot of work using city resources to come up with a list that is going to bait a lot of those concerns. The other thing that is going to be of critical importance is that these trees are maintained by the property owners appropriately, and those materials are being are in draft form right now. We're anticipating potentially making some minor code changes to bring forward to council that adopt some best management practices for residential tree planting and maintenance. And Todd, honestly, one of the areas that I find the most success with any program is when you're really doing something on a volunteer basis. And in this situation, you have people willingly applying to be a part of this program. They're invested in the long-term health of this program and of these trees. And I think for that reason, we're going to see some really good maintenance taking place of these systems. And I think because of that, it'll abate a lot of those fears.
I think people might be surprised at just the importance. Why are we still a tree city? We had been at one point declared that. But there, maybe you can talk a bit about that, Thomas, and just kind of the importance of the city has had efforts in the past of trying to, you know, become more urban forest friendly, so to speak.
Yeah, Todd, we are still a tree city, and I think that this is another step in that direction. That has been something that has been led by the Community and Economic Development Department here at the city. But I think this is just another way for the city to kind of put its foot forward and continue that legacy. none of it would have been possible, however, without City Shade, Paul's contribution. And I think contribution is almost an understatement. He's really been pushing us hard. Few people go out and plant as many trees as he has prior to a program being initiated. So it's just
Tom, he's planted 100 trees. He's got 100 trees growing already. So I think he's put skin in the game, as they say. I and then some.
let me make a comment here. Going into the spring, I had about maybe almost 2,000 trees, and I now have very healthy 1,200.
Oh, wow. So there you go. You're how I should have asked you this earlier, Paul. How large are your seedlings now? I mean, how big are these trees right now?
I have a fair number that are in the 4 foot going on to 5 foot range. And then some that are only, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 feet tall.
So, go ahead.
City Shade is committed to providing the trees to the city. They have to be at least 6 feet tall, and 4 inches from the ground, they need to be at least 1 inch caliper.
Paul, I should have asked you at the outset of this, what is your background in trees before doing all of this with City Shade?
Well, I've spent some time around nurseries, but not that many. But I'm an agronomist, and I've worked in agriculture and agribusiness and agricultural lending and crop production in several parts of the United States, and then in about 19 countries overseas.
So there you go. So there's a bit of a background, or at least even into the more commercialness of this whole thing as to putting a program together that will be sustainable. Thomas, I wanted to have you elaborate, too, or maybe just comment on what Paul said at the beginning when he was looking at maps of Port Angeles, and there seemed to be so much more canopy back in the day. What happened? And maybe it's not just Port Angeles, but in a lot of cities. Why did we, you know, what was the thrust to get rid of all of the trees, I guess?
Well, you know, Todd, I think that there's some professors at prestigious universities that study this topic for a living. You know, the idea of urban sprawl and, you know, all of the different land management actions that have come from those sorts of things. But I think just in general, you know, what you've seen over the past decade or so is a lot of communities trying to turn that tide and recognizing the not only the environmental, but the social value of having an urban canopy and treating that type of program or infrastructure, if you will, in a little bit different light than it was maybe say 20, 30 years ago. So I think that's exciting. I think we have a lot of examples out there of communities that have been making that a priority. And you're starting to see some of the benefits of it.
Do you think, Thomas, that also makes it easier to get a program like the one you're proposing now to get some legs and to actually work? People are going to be more, you know, buying into it because of the social issues that come with it now.
Well, certainly. And I think that anytime you have examples out there of other communities to kind of use as a template is a really good thing. But, you know, one of the things that I think is unique about this program and special is this partnership in creating the sheer amount of volunteerism that's going to go into it, having buy-in from the adjacent property owners to be a part of that process. And the fact that, you know, as long as the program is sustainable, you're looking at, you know, free trees. There will be a donation component that'll be worked in there, but I think that in and of itself puts its own unique Port Angeles spin on it and something that our community can really get behind.
All right, Thomas, what is the timeline from the city's perspective? Where do you think we're at in all of this before people can start just maybe sign up, do some things, or can they do some things right now?
Well, I think that we're still a little ways off from people signing up. I think that we need to spend the summer and maybe early fall kind of finalizing what the application process is going to look like. The last thing we want to do is to have people log in online and all of a sudden there's a bunch of hiccups. So we need to figure that part of it out. Ultimately, what we're looking at is opening up application for these trees next spring. Collecting that those applications for a short period of time and then ultimately due diligence in late spring and summer on all the things that Paul brought up relative to the placement of those trees. And then October of 2023, would be the first planting for this program.
All right, Paul, we'll go to you probably for some of the last words on this. By that time, I mean, you're going to have what? You got 1,200. You'll probably have 2,400 trees by then. What do you think?
I don't know how many I'll have then growing, but by October of 23, I should have, you know, maybe 100 trees to start off the first year, which would be nice, a nice test, so that then the following year, if we have 400 or 500 trees, we'll know what to do.
Paul, are you excited about this thing? Is this coming together as you'd hoped, as you'd like, as you envisioned it, or is it not? Or is it something totally more than you thought it'd be?
No, this is really great. It's become bigger and more complicated than I ever imagined, and it's going to last longer than I ever thought. But I'm 75, and I need something to keep me driving, to keep in shape the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, I can tell you, Paul, that we were looking for an excuse to get you on to talk about this for some time, and we finally were able to get you and then the city on and to chat all about the street tree program and what City Shade's done with it. And hats off to you, Paul, for kind of bringing this forward, and I appreciate you sharing a little insight. I think we'll probably have some follow-up to this as we go. Obviously, this program's still kind of being put together, and I don't know, maybe you need to give me an update on how many trees you have growing every couple of months.
I could do that. Yeah,
I'd love to do it. Paul, thanks for joining us. It was great to talk to you. And Thomas Hunter from the city, it's always great to talk to you as well. And again, yeah, we'll continue to follow this. And sounds like things are moving along. And about a year from now, we could be pretty active.